Good evening.
Has joined. Good evening. Has joined.
Does anybody have any questions? Nobody has any questions yet. We'll wait and see if someone comes on with a question.
Hello.
Has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Do you have a question?
No.
Has joined.
Someone else had one, it would spark a question for me.
Does anybody else have a question?
I have a question.
Hello, Brandy. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing a lot better today. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And what is your question?
My question is, if I understand it right, that inanimate objects absorb essences of the person that owned them. So if you keep that inanimate object around after that person dies, are you keeping a part of that essence of that person with you?
Excellent question. But the reason that the inanimate object absorbs energy and essence from the person that owns that inanimate object is because of the ownership relationship. So when the person dies, that ownership relationship has ended, and there is now a new owner. And so the inanimate object is getting that essence,
has joined,
that energy from the new owner. Now, there is a spiritual law that says there's no disappearance in spirituality. So the question we have to ask is the essence and energy that comes from the original owner, is that spiritual energy? Then it would still be there, but it would also be changed by the new owner.
Okay, so being caged by the new owner, does that mean that spirituality, the new owner traps some part of that spirituality of that other person in that inanimate object?
Well, I'm not sure that the energy that's in the inanimate object is spiritual energy. It's not part of the person's soul, but it's a connection energy. So I don't think it stays in the object.
Okay. Give you an example is I used to like, I don't have time now, but I used to like to go to antique shops and look at all of, well, antique shops have different degrees of, I guess you would call it, I don't know, wealth. Some of them are not as, the objects in the store are not, they don't look as wealthy as some of the stores. But one of these stores that I went into one time, kind of the medium shop, not rich, not poor. and there were a lot of what they call Schiffer robes. Are you familiar with those?
Yes.
Okay. And I was looking at a number of them, and I passed by several of them. And when I did, the doors that were closed opened up, and the drawers opened up. So, needless to say, it didn't come home with me. But I was, you know, that always intrigued me why that happened.
You just have a magnetic body energy.
I guess so. I used to have questions about different subject matters. And when I would go to the library, the books would actually fall off the shelf and open to the page to answer my question. So is that magnetic energy also?
It's cause and effect.
Okay, how so?
You ask the question, the answer is going to be revealed to you.
Okay.
You ask a question, you had the merit to receive the answer, and you had the merit not to have to go through a process of looking through the book yourself.
Well, that's interesting. Should it be? Wouldn't that be wonderful if it was like that for everything question you have? You wouldn't have to plow through a lot of information, and there it would be.
There's a number of stories told about the various sages of the Hasidic sects, and one of those stories. I'm trying to remember who was the sage that was. I think it was Rav Susha. And he was teaching a group of students, and one of their tasks in serving him was to make sure that his food was available. And so a different student would make sure that the food was delivered to him in his study when he was studying his Torah at a certain time. And day after day, it was a different student who went and served the meal, but they always brought his food on time. And one day they said, what is this all about? So they decided among themselves that they would not bring any food that day. And Rav Susha was studying, and he got a little hungry. So he said to the universe, Susha is hungry. But nobody brought his food. And about an hour later, after returning to his studies and continuing his studies, he said to the universe, to Hashem, Susha is still hungry. And that went on continuously. Every half hour, 20 minutes, Susha is hungry. And after about 2.5 hours, there was a knock on the door, because none of the students were going to bring any food to him. So there was a knock on the door. And the one student opened the door, and in comes somebody with a meal for Rav Susha. And he says, I don't know why, but I got a message that I needed to bring this food to this house and give it to Rav Susha. Yeah. What is the purpose of this story? to teach you about cause and effect. If you have a desire, it will, and you have the merit, it will be fulfilled. It can be fulfilled in a process that's longer or a process that's shorter. But it will always be fulfilled, providing you have the desire, you verbalize the desire, and you have the merit to have that desire fulfilled.
I've seen that happen. There was, I don't know whether he was a preacher or not, that this man and this woman didn't have very much to eat in their house. And they were wondering what they were going to eat that night. And so they said, the man said a few prayers, and he said, "Well, God will provide for us." And there was a knock on the door, and it was from one of their neighbors. And they said, "We just cooked all of this particular food, and we have more than we can eat. So we thought we'd bring some over to you." So that was fine. That was great. So then in a few minutes, he said, "You know what would really go good with this meal, and would be nice to have? We sure would like to have some hot biscuits." And so then in a few more minutes, there was another knock on the door. And it was another neighbor from further down where they lived. They lived out in the country. And the neighbor said, "You know, I just got through baking all of these biscuits, and we have more than we can eat, so we thought we would share them with you." So at that night, the man and the married man and the lady, his wife, they sat down to dinner, and they had a wonderful meal with biscuits, and they thanked God for having brought all of that to them. I've seen that happen.
Baruch Hashem, I understand it. I've experienced it myself.
And
in my period when I was homeless. I didn't know where I was going to sleep. I didn't know what I was going to eat. And I literally, a person would come up to me, hand me $10, and say, "Go get a hamburger." I never asked for the donation. I never told him I was hungry. I've seen I've seen how Hashem coordinates his world.
He does, and you never know that person walking up to you. There's a verse in the Torah, I believe it's in the Torah, and it says, "We never know that we walk among angels," and we never know. So you never know whether that was an angel, and that was his job that day to give you that $10 or not.
Correct. Does anybody else have any questions tonight?
Well, not a question, but the story makes me think of incidences that happened when I was teaching. Oftentimes, I'd be studying something during the week, not even associated with what looked like to be anything with the lesson I was teaching, and yet someone in the class would ask the question of what I had read, so I knew the answer.
Wow, that's awesome.
You know, that happened several times. And I don't know, lately I've been thinking about just past incidences in my life. And I realize things that happened that just like, they look like normal circumstances, but they were actually Hashem really providing every step of the way for everything, you know.
Hashem is in control, and you either understand that or you become amazed by what happens in the world. But if you understand it, you appreciate it, and you express that appreciation. Any other questions or comments or thoughts?
No, but I have a funny.
Go ahead.
The funny is what we were talking about. I've expressed that I wanted to win the Publishing Clearinghouse sweepstakes, but I don't see any angel knocking on my door. So I guess I just don't merit it.
Well, there's a story of a very righteous man who every week he asked God if he could win the lottery. Every week, that was in his prayers. God, can I win the lottery, please, this week? Week after week after week for 60 years. And he passes away, and he went upstairs to, and he said to God, I've been praying to you for 60 years. Can I win the lottery? How come you never let me win the lottery? That's it. You have to buy a ticket.
Amen to that.
You have to do the action. That's why it's called the world of action. So make sure you buy the lottery ticket if you're going to pray to that you win the lottery.
Well, I can do that.
Everyone have a beautiful day and evening. Four classes tomorrow. Morning class for Aliyah 5. 11 o'clock class is Sefer Yetzirah. Deep Zohar and Counting the Omer at 4 p.m. At 7 p.m., a regular Zohar class. Keep in mind, a week from Thursday night is Lag BaOmer. We will have a long night study that night. And keep in mind that Sunday night is Pesach Sheni, so keep, bring out the matzah and enjoy yourself. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.
Thank you.
Thank you.